The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
What up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. It's Friday. It's always great on Friday because we got Felica and Fezzik on Friday. Fezzik Fridays in hour number two. Chris Felica's bumped up a little earlier because he's got a thing today.
He's got work stuff.
He's got work stuff. Man has another job. He doesn't just come here and then sleep the rest of the week like a bear would.
He also might feel like that's all he does over the past week, though. I think he was on enough Kentucky Derby shows.
You know what he's doing for us today? College football win totals. How about that?
He's got a lot, too.
College football win totals and more with Christopher Felica, who, when we last spoke to, by the way, I owe a couple apologies to both of these guys, one to each. Chris, because we were like, Samich at the Superfecta, and, you know, Felica gave us a 7-1 horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fezzik, remember when we thought he cursed a couple weeks ago?
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here.
I can't. The day I came back, you guys were still trying to figure that out.
I accused him of cursing. I gave the guys and gals behind the window who make this show happen, they all listened to it. They said, oh, he cursed. And he's like, no, I didn't. And we had a couple listeners who decoded it for us. So an apology to him as well. We'll get into the details of that. Jonathan Davis on the NHL playoffs. What a finish at T-Mobile last night. VGK fans don't think it was a great finish, but man, was it amazing.
Yeah. Oilers up 2-0 now?
Oilers up 2-0, heading back to Edmonton. Heading back to, it was Edmonton and my knowledge.
Canada.
No. Is it Manitoba, right? Is Edmonton in Manitoba?
I don't know.
My region's wrong. Sorry, Toronto. I know you're
in North America.
I know you're in Ontario, Toronto, but Edmonton, I think, is Manitoba. Anyway, they head back to Edmonton for games 3 and 4 with the Oilers up 2-0. But in overtime yesterday, and we'll talk with Jonathan Davis about this yesterday, it just reminds me, like McDavid and Draisaitl remind me of when I was, you know, watching Caps playoff games in the early 90s and Lemieux and Yager would just bury them. That's what it reminds me of. But we'll get to Jonathan about that and all both games tonight. Caps won last night as well.
Edmonton is in Alberta.
At Edmonton, Alberta, of course.
Well, you've got so you were confusing it with Winnipeg.
That's correct. Edmonton, Alberta. That is the worst Canadian geography move I've ever made right there. We'll get to the NBA here momentarily. There's a lot of things to get to. One, I just have a couple picks I want to get out. One is a tennis play. 2 days ago, 2-0. Yesterday, 4-1. Clay looking good until this morning. 0-2 on a couple big dogs. The problem is the dogs aren't coming in. The big dogs are not coming in.
Come on, dogs, get it together.
And we probably would have been 0-3, but we got the benefit of a walkover. So the only thing remaining is another dog, Daria Kasatkina, +141 against Marta Kostyuk. Kostyuk has been playing fantastic tennis. But I'm going with Kasatkina to be crafty. She's crafty. Get her the win here against Kostyuk. That's the remaining tennis play. Got a couple things in a couple plays in the Padres game at Coors. The Rockies are just dreadful. They got destroyed by the Tigers yesterday. I want to say by a collective 18 runs. Do I have that right? That was just unbelievable yesterday in a doubleheader. I got the Padres -0.5 run first five. I got the Padres in the run line for the full game today at Coors. I don't care if Dennis Tankersley's pitching for the Padres. Trying to think of the worst Padres pitcher I can think of historically.
18 runs. You're right.
Yep.
18 runs.
Incredible. Might not have gotten Alberta, but I got the 18 correct. Jackson Merrill, I also made that play yesterday that we were talking about. I got an MVP, the only one that was available in town yesterday, 50-1 at MGM. So I will be sprinkling that all over town. Those are all the plays. So again, I want to get the tennis in because that starts in about 20 minutes. You know how tennis start times go, but in case you want some action during the show, Kasatkina is the play as a dog in Rome. All right, NBA, only game last night. T-Wolves off the schneid. They even up their best of seven series against the Stephless Warriors, and they do so by 24 points. They win it coast to coast, led by as many as 25 right before the end of the game. The only Warriors threat came in the third quarter when they cut the lead to 7 at one point. I mean, this was the game where the T-Wolves scored the first 13 points of the game. The Warriors were lucky they weren't down 20 earlier.
Yeah.
But they scored the first 13 points of the game, did the Warriors. There was a moment in the second quarter halfway through where it looked like Anthony Edwards got hurt with the Wolves up 18, but it was more like a Paul Pierce chariot him off the court kind of thing where he magically appeared just fine in the second half. T-Wolves led by 17 at the half. As I mentioned, Dubs got within seven with under 7 minutes left in the third quarter, but then the T-Wolves went on a 14-3 run. They kicked it back up to 20, and it was KD bar the door. Ant, 20 points on 6 of 13 shooting, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Julius Randle held down the fort most of the game, 24 points, 11 assists, 7 boards. The Warriors, 17 turnovers. Their offense just looked absolutely lost without Steph. Jimmy Butler had 17. Driving in was listening to By the Books with Jensen Lewis. Keith Irizarry was in for our buddy
Dave Ross.
Dapper Dave, don't talk politics or NFC East Ross with me.
Captain America.
I agree with what Zach Cohen was on the show. And Zach, I agree with what he said. Jimmy Butler does not look right either. So as worrisome as Steph is, Steph's not going to be back till, you know, earliest game six if the Warriors can extend it that far. But Jimmy Butler looks like he is still feeling the effects of his fall in the second game against the Rockets. And even though he's scored 17, he does not look to score. Yep. He does not look to make things happen. The Warriors also comically become the first team, did you see this, in NBA playoff history to use 14 different players in one half. Braxton Key even got in there for 5 seconds.
I did not see that. Yeah. In one half. That's impressive.
That's because basically Steve Kerr is just throwing stuff at the wall. Stuff, by the way. Throwing stuff at the wall. This, as bad as you might have thought it would be without Steph, it could not have looked any worse yesterday. They head back to Game 3 at the Chase Center in San Francisco. Minnesota installed as a 5-point favorite in Game 3. Series price adjusted. T-Wolves now minus 320 in a 1-1 series. Warriors plus 250 on the comeback.
Yeah, I don't think there's any major freak out moment yet.
The Warriors aren't freaking out.
I agree with you that Jimmy Butler stuff is concerning because he needs to be near top level for them to survive some of these games without Steph. But you kind of knew one or two of these games was likely without Steph in the lineup. Look, Timberwolves finally were able to hit a shot like that. That would have been a problem for them in the past two games going back to last series. Julius Randle's been awesome. Props to him. Anthony Edwards, look, that ankle has been, I mean, that's been the thing since last series as well for him. So let's see how that carries over. You know, he might have been looking okay in the second half. Maybe it feels a little worse a couple days later after some swelling, something to keep an eye on. I'll tell you one, I think one huge positive for the Warriors and throwing some stuff against the wall is, hey, Jonathan Kuminga's back getting some minutes, and 8-for-11 from the field is going to keep him getting minutes.
Silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining.
Yeah. By the way, tonight, of course, in the NBA, this is interesting. Cleveland now up to a 3 or even a 3.5 point favorite against Indiana. Again, Cleveland must-win situation tonight. Gotta win. Otherwise, you're down 3-0. And once again, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best of seven series ever in the history of the NBA playoffs. So I'm seeing threes. There's some 3.5s in some spots. And let me just say this. The total, which has remained at 229.5 in games 1 and 2 and was 229.5 here in game 3, this has now gone down 3 points, sort of out of nowhere. 226.5. Stevie Fezzik will have something to say about that a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was noticing that movement this morning. The spread continues to go Cleveland's way. Gil, it's been a little while since I can remember a game that the books seem to be taking such a stand on knowing injury information ahead of time or assuming on injury information, because otherwise this line doesn't make any sense. From where we saw that close in game 2, you're only baking in about a point for home court advantage, which does not make much sense unless you're fairly confident that one of those three Cavaliers players or multiple are going to be back in this game.
Even if it's all of them, right? Even if it's Garland, Mobley, and Hunter. Should the Cavs be favored by after what you've seen by the Pacers?
I will have my phone in my hand all day, because if those guys get ruled out, I will be going to give me Pacers plus 3.5. Yeah. If those guys getting ruled out, I'll be on that side.
OKC up to a 5-point favorite at Denver tonight. The other game that is tonight, that is game 3, with that series knotted up at one game apiece. But we're back in Denver. That has ticked down a point to 232.5 on the total as well. OKC minus 450 on the adjusted series price there.
Yeah, I'll just be holding on dearly to my series futures tickets for the Thunder.
Steve Fezzik will have not one but two NBA plays later, and they will both be contest plays for him in the VSiN Killer Sports NBA playoff challenge that he leads, by the way.
Yeah, I dropped another last night, went under on that game.
How did that game stay under? I mean, go over, I should say. How in the world?
A lot of fourth quarter scoring, garbage scoring.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah. The other thing, there's a few other things that happened in the betting world yesterday. Let's get the golf out of the way here. So, did you guys give out this pick or you did not?
Nah, I mean, it's first round leader stuff. I usually don't bet it till like Wednesday night. So it was one of those we were going to try to squeeze in yesterday at some point on the show because it started later, but we didn't get an opportunity here.
But he didn't do it on long shots either.
We didn't do it on long shots. I don't usually bet first round leader stuff till Wednesday night when I have like the clearest vision on what the weather is going to look like that next day. So a lot of it's just out of habit, unfortunately. But yeah, it's Keith Mitchell, man.
Keith Mitchell.
What are those?
What was his number?
Well, they create 55-1 over at MGM.
Do we have that tweet about his first round?
Yeah, first round prowess.
Keith Mitchell, first round juggernaut in golf. Not a tournament juggernaut, but a first round juggernaut. It's what's the dividing line? Here it is. Keith Mitchell. This is from Justin Ray Golf, who always puts out great golf tweets. Keith Mitchell's last five opening rounds in PGA Tour stroke play events, scoring average 64.2. Position, first, second, first.
It's wild, man.
Birdies are better per round, 7.8. Are you kidding me?
Just can't keep it up for four rounds, Gil. But he is the first round king, man.
Man.
It is for him first round leader this year, and then Rory McIlroy outright. So that has been the way to go in golf betting.
All right, we'll talk hockey with Jonathan Davis on the other side. And, there's a new Pope with betting implications. Not necessarily in that order. Next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Now on VSiN.com, Zachary Cohen's NBA Best Bets, Greg Peterson's MLB Picks, Nigel Seeley's Premier League Best Bets as the Premier League season winds down. Coming up today, Jonathan Davis's NHL Props and Picks, Steve Mackinnon's NBA and MLB Analytics Reports, and Adam Burke's Peter Pan Stakes Preview. How about that? How about that? 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. That's the main thing. With promo code PRO. Let me say that again. 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code PRO. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. Before we get to Jonathan Davis, the aforementioned Jonathan Davis, talk about hockey. The biggest news globally yesterday, and it has betting implications. We have a new Pope, Kelly.
I got so wrapped up in this yesterday. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if this happened at when we were on air or right after.
Yeah, it was somewhere in that time. Yeah, I was confused about that as well.
But we got white smoke. That means they selected a new Pope. Congratulations to Robert Francis Prevost from the south side of Chicago.
Villanova grad.
Apparently big Villanova fan, a Chicago White Sox fan by all indications. He is going by, what is it, Pope Leo the 14th. Mm-hmm. That is what he's going by. Now, when the NBA and the NHL has been concluding all these nights during these last few weeks, I'm like, to wind me down and get me to bed, I was like, you know, searching HBO Max or Primal. Anyway, Conclave is available on Prime.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
And so I actually watched the one movie I watched is Conclave, and I watched it in about three sittings because I fall asleep, right, twice.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way. I can't make it through a movie in one sitting.
By the way, it has nothing to do with the quality of the movie, just me falling asleep. Yeah. It was really good. It was one of those, I will say, that as great as it was, like when the credits come, you're like, oh, I guess it's over, right? they picked a Pope. Okay, great. But Conclave, I don't know, the fascinating thing to me about Conclave, if it is in any way an accurate depiction of how a pope is selected, what you learn from it is not only is it the sequestering of the votes, right, of the people who then the cardinals who make the votes and try these votes on you know several ballots before they can actually pick one. That's why you see black smoke, and then finally white smoke when they have a majority. But what I didn't know, and again, if it is an accurate depiction, what I didn't know is that there's a lot of politics involved. So there's a conservative faction, right, that backs a candidate, if you will. There's a more liberal, faction that backs another candidate, just to make it very simple. It obviously gets really nuanced in the movie. But what's interesting about this is from a betting perspective, bookmaker and offshore didn't have this gentleman up as a bettable option until someone requested it.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone requested it, they put up Robert Francis Prevost from the United States at 325-1. He closed at 50-1 at BetMGM, and not in the United States, but other BetMGM properties.
Yes,
50-1 to be the next Pope. 19% of bets, this is from John Ewing at MGM, 19% of bets, the most were on Pietro Parolin from Italy to be the Pope. He obviously did not win. 58% of the money was on Luis Antonio Tagle. So, it's pretty fascinating. So someone, I guess, from a betting perspective, what's interesting is that someone knew something. I don't know if they knew someone who knew this guy who was like, oh, yeah, like he might really genuinely be the next Pope. Like maybe he, but you're sequestered. So how do you know? Right. On the blockchain-based site in Polymarket, six users profited at least $20,000, according to the publicly available ledger at Polymarket. Someone won $63,000+ on a $1,000+ bet. Just punched a user on Polymarket. And then Kalshi, another platform, someone won $52,000+ on a $526 wager. So it's amazing. People profited from this, and I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
if there's inside information on this, there's inside information on anything.
Yeah, I don't know how much is. Do you actually think it is that, or is it just people wanting to bet on the American?
It could be that, but like specifically to ask bookmaker, hey, could you put this one dude down for me? Maybe they just got lucky, or maybe they knew something.
It's wild though. Like, that
but
is...
but if the movie is a depiction, there's no way you could know anything.
I was texting with Didzik yesterday because I knew he had been tracking all this stuff, and it was like, I was like, was this on anybody's radar? He's like, no, like not at all.
Remember,
from a betting standpoint or from a...
We brought it up on a numbers game 2-3 weeks ago, and there's a couple of listeners who were like clutching their pearls about it. But I was like, this is a real thing. Mm. People bet on this. To hockey. How's that for an non-artistic segue? Jonathan Davis joins us now to talk NHL. Obviously, some people's religion in their own right. Jonathan Davis, not only our betting analyst, but you can follow him at West Coast Hockey. That's West Coast HKY on Twitter. How you doing, Jonathan?
I am doing great, guys. How are you this morning?
Doing very well. We have a Twitter question for you before we get into the NHL. Manny Davison, any plays from you on the 2025 World Championship starting in Stockholm this morning?
I just took a quick perusal. Look, Canada is +140. They are the favorite. As I was telling you guys during the break here, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Marc-Andre Fleury, amongst three of Canada's players. I just took a quick look at leading goal scorers. I think Canada's got at least the top six, so that puts them in a pretty good spot. Nathan MacKinnon 9-1 to lead the tournament in goals. So I'll go Canada 140 to win, and a little smaller play on MacKinnon at 9-1 to lead the tournament in goals.
All right, let's talk about yesterday before we talk about tonight's NHL games in the playoffs. Yesterday, Caps even up the series against Carolina. They bounce back with a 3-1 win. That series now even, headed back to Carolina, where the Hurricanes are going to be a -192 favorite in game three. They're a -230 adjusted series price favorite. But the big one last night, man, I was mentioning this earlier. This feels to me, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl give me Lemieux Yager vibes as a Caps fan, and just seeing them just tear your heart out. The overtime goal where McDavid, you know, got the puck on the fly. Jack Eichel just had no chance. He was flat-footed, goes by him, feeds Draisaitl, and Edmonton now with a 2-0 lead over VGK in that best-of-seven series, with Edmonton now a -550 adjusted series favorite. Only -125 in Game 3, it should be pointed out, back in Edmonton, Alberta. What are your thoughts on both of these series?
All right, quickly, because I know we're short on time. At this price, I like Washington. Carolina has struggled 5-on-5. I think they've been outscored 13-12, or maybe they're up by one. We've essentially had 2-1 goal games. I'll continue to take Washington at plus money. VGK and Edmonton. As Connor told our story, Bonantoni, who was working for Espen last night, you know, they were pretty quiet. He and Leon were pretty quiet throughout the game. But when, you know, game on the line there in overtime, they came through. Here's the one thing with Edmonton. They're no longer about just Connor and Leon. They've got 15 different players this year who have scored a goal in the playoffs. That's number one in the NHL. 18 different players with a point. That's number two. Interesting that they're up 2-0. Last series, they were down 0-2. But, you know, they smell blood. And it's kind of hard to deny what's going on. I did have Vegas, though, going into the series. And I had Vegas as my representative for the West to win the cup.
My very uneducated eye, I'm getting Oilers vibes to win the cup. I really am. The way they come back in these games. Tonight, Toronto and Florida. Toronto up 2-0. We're back in Florida. Panthers are -238 favorite in this game. Toronto obviously up two games, a -230 series favorite. How are you playing game three tonight?
Yeah, ridiculous price on Florida. Just way overpriced to me. But I'm going to target, you know, one of the best trends that I've been following throughout the playoffs is the team that loses the previous game to score the first goal in the next game. That one is, it's 28-14 that they score the first goal. It's 29-13 that they score that first goal, or they score a goal at least in the first period. But I'm going to take Florida right now, -170. It is pricey just to score the first goal. Brad Marchand of the Florida Panthers, I'd like him to pick up just a point tonight, or you could even target him for a goal and an assist. You're going to get better value if he strikes on one of those. He's got the fourth most points in a lifetime against the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. William Nylander for Toronto, an anytime goal. He's got 6 goals in 8 games in the playoffs. He's got 9 goals in his last 10 playoff games. I like him. And Max Pacioretty of Toronto, been reborn in the playoffs. Play him again for a goal and an assist. You get 5-1 on a goal, 3-1 on an assist. It's better value than playing him for just to get a point, so you can split up your unit in any way you want on that.
Pacioretty, not one rupture of an Achilles, but a re-rupture, 3 total surgeries back from all that. And then Dallas and Winnipeg, game 2 back in Winnipeg tonight with Dallas up 1-0 in the series. The Jets a slight favorite in this game. How are you playing this?
Yeah, so again, Winnipeg lost last game. Play them to score the first goal of this game tonight. You can get that at -115. But you got to go with Mikko Rantanen into the Dallas Stars to do something tonight. He's been in on their last 12 goals. He's got back-to-back hat tricks. So, you know, you can play him. You can get a little creative if you want. You know, anytime goal is +175. 2 goals is +1,200. 3 goals is +7,500. I mean, play him at least for 2 goals and, you know, a little bit of pizza money there for sure. I do like the Dallas team total over 2.5. That's my best bet, guys. Connor Hellebuck has given up at least 3 goals in all but 1 playoff game this year.
Mikko Rantanen and Connor McDavid right now co-favorites for the Conn Smythe. Jonathan, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day.
NHL playoffs, so good. Thank you, Jonathan. We'll come back. Chris Felica next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, alongside. We get tweets of beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Have I ever mentioned that before? Michael Burns, I got +160 on Daria. Congrats, Kelly, on the first round leader, he says as well.
Thank you.
Dan Wickhorst, you're right at Dan. I messed up the Edmonton, Alberta thing. That hurts, Gil. He says, have a great day. I know. My bad. Completely botched that. Scott, New York Mets 16. Oh, Gil, if you only lived in a state where gambling was legal, I got Jackson Merrill at 80-1 at DK at DraftKings. Okay. Good for you. Jack Olaquire. Gil, is Dennis Tankersley, any relation to Dennis Eckersley, asking for a friend or maybe a brother? No, two different humans. Two different humans.
Mm-hmm.
Chance Copperpot. Now that Jordan Hudson has been banned from the UNC facilities and their games is in the win total over on, and their games, is the win total over on the Tar Heels a bet, or are we still going under? Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Pablo sure Torre, our buddy Pablo Torre. Can we call him our buddy? He talked with 11 different sources, reportedly. 11 different sources, it says in this New York Post article, that say that the UNC administration has banned Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, from UNC's football facility. She will not be on the field. She will not be in the building. And in fact, one of the quotes was, one source, quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward. The other story about this that Pablo talked about is that the family is very concerned that this will affect Bill's legacy.
It's a bizarre story,
and that
man.
They are investigating her as well.
Investigating her. Okay. Well, it's a bizarre story. It's probably best for everybody involved, though, that if this happens now and just move on.
I like it. Good for you, UNC. John Yu, interesting read on how the experienced poly market trader bet the Pope market and won. He also won on the presidential election. Per your discussion today, this guy might have moved the market on the Pope. I will read that article once we're off air. That's interesting. Kyle Firestein, I wonder if the Pope markets have Italian versus the field odds like golf. That I did not see.
I don't know.
NCI 95 Gambler. This is not gambling related, but can you ask the audience if Twitter is having problems? I haven't received any notifications since last night. Thanks, guys. No, it's working for us. And then I'm here for all your questions, sports, gambling or not. And then T-Shell Doll, turning in late. Did you give out any tennis plays this morning that haven't started yet? Yes, Daria Kasatkina, which would start any time now against Marta Kostyuk. Christopher Felica is the bear, ladies and gentlemen. He works at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And Chris, before we move on to anything else, my sincerest apology, because while we were slurping Somich last week for a superfecta,
unreal,
we let it sort of slip till the next segment that you also gave us a 7-1 play. So
I know.
My apologies.
You're forgiven. I'm curious. I am going to watch that Kasatkina Kostyuk match, because that'll be interesting post match now, because we know about like Svitolina and a lot of the Ukrainian tennis players, how they won't shake hands with anyone affiliated with Russia. And now Kasatkina has a Australian citizenship, so maybe it'll be a bending of the fences there with Ukrainian Kostyuk and Kasatkina now, who's going to be under the Australian flag. We have to watch.
Yeah, well, people should watch all Marta Kostyuk matches just on principle alone, if you know what I mean.
She's got a cute little dog, too.
Oh, a what now?
Dog.
Cute little dog.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Oh, you haven't seen the videos of her and the dog on the court afterwards and stuff? Yeah.
Sure.
Very, very cute little dog.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Do you have any horse racing, or are we going straight to college football? What do we got today?
No horse racing this week, and I'm going to be away, obviously, next week for the Preakness, but I'll be back for Belmont for sure. But yeah, no horse racing. Soccer's kind of winding down. Should have a really competitive Champions League final with Inter Milan.
Okay.
In there.
And you will
against PSG.
And Fox has Belmont, right? So you'll be all in coat and tie. You'll be all dressed up for that.
Exactly. I'll look a lot prettier than I do right now, having not shaved in a few days, sitting here with my dome shining here in the light.
Okay. Let's go to college football. This is your bread and butter, of course. Big Noon Saturday is where you can find Chris during the college football season. So you have not one, not two, but nine, count them, nine season win totals. Let's begin with Kelly's alma mater, the FSU Seminole.
Do I? Yeah, anyway, I guess it is nine. Yeah, I think I've given this one out on the air already, so I'm not going to go too much into detail. I think when I gave it out, Florida State under 7.5 minus 120. Now it's 6.5 plus 110. So the number has come down. You can either A, take a position where you can try and middle this, and maybe FSU lands on 7 and you can win the under 7.5, win the over 6.5. But I don't know. Like, I'm not saying, I think they have a lot of roster holes. I think the way the schedule shakes out isn't good. I don't know if quarterback Thomas Castellanos will. A guy who basically quit on BC and is now the quarterback, if he's going to be able to survive in Gus Malzahn's offense. So I'm going to press in more and go under 6.5 at plus money as well. And basically, if they land on 7, fine, it'll be a wash. But I don't see 8-4 here for Florida State at all.
All right, Cade Klubnik coming back to Clemson here, but you're going under on the Tigers.
I am, and it's hard to say. I mean, I was a big fan of this Clemson program for a long time. But you look last year, and despite the fact that they won the ACC, like, they really didn't beat anybody. You got blown out in the opening game of the year by Georgia. You were non-competitive on your home field against Louisville. Yeah, you gave a game away against South Carolina that maybe you should have won, but you also stole a game at Pitt that you had no business winning. They were one of the better teams in the country last year in turnover margin, which is always kind of an indicator for either positive or negative regression. You got the opener against LSU this year. The road schedule, you got Georgia Tech, was always tricky. BC with Bill O'Brien, who obviously they played better towards the end of last year. Louisville beat them last year. South Carolina, who beat them last year. They got to go to both of those places. That's five potentially losable games. And then you've got the SMU team that they beat in Charlotte last year in the ACC championship game, who should be good as well. So, like, 10 to beat me, I think, is really, really tough. I think this Clemson team is a little bit overhyped because of Klubnik. I know they got some good young receivers, too, but I think Clemson under 9.5 at plus money is a good little contrarian play there.
All right, Indiana coming off the greatest college football season they've ever had in school history, 11-2. A quarterback room with four guys, including two brothers, two biological brothers, the Mendoza brothers. You are going which way on Indiana?
Yeah, I'm going to go under 8.5, and it's my minus 122 I saw at FanDuel. Yeah, the non-conference schedule is as laughable as it was last year. Old Dominion, Indiana State, and Kennesaw State. But you look at the way the schedule changes this year for them. Last year they had road games at UCLA, Northwestern, and Michigan State. Now they got to go to Iowa, Oregon, and Penn State. That is a massive switch and flip in the schedule. So in addition to those games, you assume they're going to lose all three of those. So if you say that, then that means they basically have to run the table against Illinois, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Purdue to hit 9 wins. Again, they were very positive in the turnover margin last year. Outside of the injury at quarterback that caused Rourke to miss a couple of weeks, they were relatively injury-free last year. So, like, again, great season last year. I don't think they're going to completely fall by the wayside and go 4-8, but 9-3 at Indiana to beat me, I think, is highly unlikely.
All right, give us like 20, 30 seconds on the rest of these.
Yeah, we'll go Wisconsin under 5.5 again. This is a team that didn't do a whole lot in the portal. I think that it was a net negative for them. The way the schedule breaks down, you're not going to beat Ohio State. You're not going to beat Alabama. I think it's another bowl-less season for the Badgers. So I'm under 5.5 on Wisconsin. Texas Tech under 8.5, minus 115. The Red Raiders are a team that are very, very highly thought of after a very active transfer portal period. But again, this is a team that you've got 5 road games against Arizona State, Houston, Kansas State, Utah, and West Virginia in the Big 12. All kind of toss-up-y type losable games. And remember last year, too, they were 6-1 in one-score games. So they got a benefit of toss-up games last year. Maybe this year they don't. Under 8.5, Texas Tech. I'm over 10.5 on Oregon. I think the assumption is a lot of people are going to be under on Oregon, just thinking they're going to take a step back after losing Gabriel and everything else last year. But I'm not giving them a loss at Penn State. Who's to say they're not going to go to Penn State and win? Like, that's a very winnable game. And you look at the rest of the schedule, it's super manageable. So even if they lose at Penn State, I think 11-1 is likely. Purdue under 3.5, I think, is really, really juiced, close to $2. You can get under 2.5 at plus money if you like, but the 3.5 kind of gives you that extra game buffer. I don't know how they're winning 2 Big Ten games. One I'm kind of high on here, I think maybe higher than most, is Auburn, over 7.5. They gave games away last year against Oklahoma and Missouri. They were 5-7. The offense struggled. You bring in Jackson Arnold at quarterback. You bring in Eric Singleton to a really good wide receiver room. A lot of upperclassmen on the offensive line. Three non-conference wins. Maybe you beat Baylor. I think that schedule's manageable. And I even saw Auburn at like 35-1 to win the SEC. So that might be worth a little bit of a stab there too. And you can read the other ones on the screen too. LSU under 8.5. It was another one that I liked as well.
That's Texas, right. That was the last one. We got to them all. We got to them all.
We did.
Yeah.
I did better with the time, Gil.
What's that?
I heard you calling me out last week. I did better with the timing, being able to read the clock.
And what did I say when someone asked who's the most likely to run into the wall? And the answer was you.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone who works in television knows how to take it. Kalika sure does run into the clock.
And you get that criticism a lot, Chris.
Okay? I love that I have these conversations on air. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package. Just $400 all in, baby. All in. You'll get 2-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party don't stop. All for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. And again, it bears repeating. This package is awesome.
Oh, it's so great. So great. I got two different friends who have already booked it. They've already used it.
I'm thinking about booking it, and I live here.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad idea, a little staycation for a weekend.
What are the chances of you coming out there and maybe just, is that Gil on a daybed? What is he doing?
The This one came down. This news coming down right now, Gil. I was going to ask you about this with Jaden Higgins, I believe it was, that I saw this with earlier. This is kind of more of a question, but Colts have signed first-round pick Tyler Warren to a four-year, fully guaranteed $20.9 million contract that includes $11.88 million in signing bonus. What's with like fully guaranteed deals starting to happen now for these rookies?
I am not savvy enough with contracts to know if that's a development that is permanent.
Well, apparently it is a development.
No, that is permanent, I mean, or what is... Yeah, I don't know what's at play there.
I don't remember hearing anything about like, hey, this is coming to the NFL, right? Like, it's a little interesting.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from Larry Fresh. One thing you can count on, Gil letting you know if an athlete has ever torn his Achilles. Listen, I can't... Well, first of all, let me just say this. We're all on the same email chain, all of us. It's Achilles, subject
Larry,
Achilles.
You know how hard it is for me to keep a straight face when he says something like that? I'm like, he doesn't even know what team the guy's on, and he knows he's had two torn Achilles.
Well, the reason I know this is because someone pointed it out. One of our great listeners pointed it out to me on Twitter yesterday that Max Pacioretty had he ruptured his Achilles, then he came back too soon. What does this sound like, boys and girls? Right? 3 months later, he re-ruptured it. He actually had to have a third surgery, which he kept hush-hush, sat out for a whole year, and now is back playing. Good for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of time to miss.
I mean, and especially, by the way, he's at an advanced age when it comes to professional sports, of course. So, you know, he's 36 years old, and the fact that he's playing for the Leafs and playing well, good for him.
Get your doctor brother on the phone. I need to know how the Achilles would be different in a skate boot as compared to like a sneaker. You know what I mean?
Oh, much more. But you're skating, you're cutting back and forth, you're doing all this stuff. You know, it's, I don't know. We'll call him
it's
now.
Interesting.
Let's call him now. Let's call him. Tom F. quoting me, he goes, acute what now? I was in tears, LOL. Yeah, I don't know what Felica said at first. I was like, what now? Kevin Ryan, Gil, I know you recap the bets at the end of the show, but I missed the Bears' last pick after Auburn. The one after Auburn was LSU, under 8.5 wins from Felica.
Yeah, we might be splitting up G-Bank today.
Too many places
to
put on one sheet.
Because Fezzik ain't going to have much time in that final segment if we're going over everything.
Rick Ollier, are we sure that in June of 2000, Dennis Tankersley should have been traded to the Padres for Ed Sprague? That's right. I'm not so sure. And then Utopia at Twotopia says, we missed the Bears' final college total. Too much chatter and music kicked in. We heard 8, couldn't make out the team. LSU under 8.5. Saying we're chattering over the picks? Is that what we're saying? We shouldn't do that.
Shut up, Kelly. I was going to ask him because he had unders on Florida State and Clemson. I wanted to know who's the best team in the ACC this year.
Not Florida State.
I was just setting him up to say Miami, I guess.
But. Yeah, his alma mater. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke, ladies and gentlemen, at Spreadopedia on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good. Were you one of these bettors on one of these exchanges who bet on the Pope correctly? Was that you?
No, I don't do exchange betting, but I did discuss the Pope betting with one of my friends like a week or two ago, and we did find it odd that the U.S. had the second most cardinals in the conclave, and then I never kind of followed up on that after that. But I was not surprised. This is my third conclave of my adult life that I've followed, you know, somewhat, and I now realize that all three times, had you actually analyzed this, it was pretty obvious in retrospect. But unfortunately, I spend zero time following up on Vatican politics day to day. So
yeah.
I had no clue. And the other thing I wanted to point out, I thought it was interesting following this market, how absolutely made up the odds were at the top of the board. It had no bearing on anything. Everybody was completely clueless. I thought that was interesting.
I wish I had seen, getting back to the fact that I watched Conclave over the course of the last week, I wish I had watched it sooner. I wish I had watched it earlier, because I think if I had watched it earlier, that exactly what you were talking about, Jason, would have kicked in my brain and been like, oh, maybe I should go and find out what the sort of breakdown is of Cardinals in this conclave. Right. And so, maybe then I would have thought, but I was watching it half asleep.
So when you were telling me you started
Italy's first, the U.S. is second, and Brazil was third. I actually found that interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
You were saying,
when you were saying you started watching this, you weren't aware this was going on?
No, I was completely aware it was going on. Oh, okay. But at the time of night that while I'm falling asleep watching Conclave, it never hit my brain like, maybe I should now think to
look
bet
for a
this.
Bet? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it didn't occur to me because I found the fact that politics are involved. Because maybe I'm naive. Who would have thought that picking a pope, great, because you think picking a pope is a sacred sort of thing, says the tribesman, right? That I didn't realize that politics are involved. And if you watch this movie, if it's an accurate depiction, clearly politics are even involved in this. So anyway. Anyway, before we get on to your picks, you are happy that Jordan Hudson has been banned from the UNC football facilities, Jason? I know you're obsessed with this story as well.
It's not that I'm happy or not happy. I just want to point out, like I said on Twitter this morning, I can't think of another Division I college football coach whose wife or girlfriend has to be formally banned from the facilities. This is just clearly not a normal situation, and it's taking a while for the collective consciousness of sports media to kind of come to terms with it, but this is not normal, and we're just going to keep pretending this is normal until it gets worse. But my statement on this situation is I hope his children have hired their own attorney to look at any changes to Bill Belichick's will, because if this was my family, I would personally be incredibly concerned for somebody like Bill Belichick.
According to reports, they are very concerned. And
they absolutely should be. I mean, they should be hiring lawyers to get this lady away from their father. Well, necessary.
From a football perspective, it does. I mean, it's hard not to let it seep into you to think this could be a disaster, right? I know you. By the way, good on UNC. Go ahead.
Football coaches have to have an attitude of respect, of leadership, and this is not a man that you could look up to and say this is normal. This is just, it's going to take a while. It might take another week or another month for the collective consciousness of sports media to come to terms with this, but sooner or later this will come to a head and it will end badly. I'm confident in saying that.
I'm sure Lombardi's got it all under control. All right, what did you play in baseball today, Jason?
Got a couple plays today. Actually, pretty excited. I got the Atlanta Braves -140 against one of the biggest loser franchises in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They seem to not be able to do anything right now. The San Diego Padres with Randy Velasquez pitching. I had an error here. It said Vince Velasquez was pitching for the Padres, and I was like, Vince Velasquez? He's still around, but no, it's Randy Velasquez. I got the Padres -161 against the Rockies here. I have the Dodgers +108 today against Diamondbacks. Yeah, Arizona Diamondbacks. And last play, Baltimore Orioles -138. I know the Orioles have been really bad. I do think they're still going to turn it around. I'm not worried about them.
Yeah, one small correction is Randy Vasquez. Jason, by the way, not Velasquez.
Yeah, Vasquez. Not in my. I had Velasquez. It's just an error.
I too have the Padres run line, both first five and full game. The Rockies lost by 18 collective runs in a doubleheader to the Tigers. And I just want to say this: do you ever remember? And I know it's early May, and I know we tend not to try to overreact to these things, but I'm overreacting. I am okay with this. I've never seen a worse collection of teams at the bottom, and the Rockies are the worst of the worst. I think they may be worse than the White Sox of last year. They're so bad. The ever-widening chasm. Does this just keep getting worse and worse from year to year?
Yeah, bad organizations continue to be bad, and good organizations continue to be better. Baseball is the kind of thing where if you're not constantly trying to get better and trying to innovate, you're going to be falling behind faster and faster, and we're seeing it with some of these bad organizations that aren't committed to spending money or winning, that they're continuing to fall behind and they're practically not even playing the same game. A lot of these teams just at this point are closer to AAA franchises than they are the top of the league. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Jason. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. See you next week.
My man. Coming back, we'll talk some NBA and Fezzik Fridays. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.